Turn with me to 1 John 5, and we're continuing our series. We're only going to look at a couple short verses quite quickly. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the goodness of your word. We would not be here. We would not be yours. Because we have no ability on our own to believe. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we owe all to this word, incarnated, written, and preached. May we hear your word and your word alone. And may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. May my words be curtailed and efficient. May your Holy Spirit lead us all in Christ's name. Amen. In bars and living rooms and man caves across the world, hundreds of thousands of times, at the end of some sporting event, people, mostly men, but I've seen some women too, have yelled at the TV set and said, "We win! We won!" How many of you have ever looked at an inanimate object that has no ability to hear and screamed, "We won"? Some of you are lying. No, you don't. Well, the truth of the matter is, I hate to pop your bubble, at the end of that event, you didn't do anything. What is this "we" stuff, Kemosabe? You didn't do anything. You sat and ate and drank and watched. They did something. We all like to win. And in two short little verses, this old disciple of Christ, talking to beloved children, mentions three times that we will overcome or conquer. Look at verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes or conquers the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In these three phrases and two verses, he confidently tells us that our victory is secure. The word "victory" is only used here. This particular word "victory" is only used here in the New Testament. It's used about how we overcome. So let's explore this phrase in a very simple manner, hopefully a very quick manner, in three phrases. One, who overcomes? The one who overcomes, quite simply, it tells us in verse 4, is a believer. The one born of God. What did you do? You were there. Now, I often will stress that there's nothing we can do, which is true. We are totally inept. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. In our Article 3 of our small catechism, we remind ourselves and we believe that we can't believe, that the Holy Spirit has to do it. So I'm big on all of that. And you've heard me say that in your physical birth, you did nothing to bring it about. And that's true. But you were there, weren't you? They didn't have a birth without you. You were there. You were present. You weren't just a spectator. We are literally integrated into Jesus Christ. Through our baptism, we actually participate. As Paul says in Romans 6, we were buried with him in baptism. We were crucified. To answer that old question in that old African-American spiritual, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, you were there. You were in him. You identify with him, Romans says. not only in his birth and in his burial, but in his resurrection. And because of that, Romans 6:4 says that you arise from that and you walk in newness of life. Not spectating, not observing, but participating. You are in Christ as sugar is in coffee. Once it's there, you're absorbed in Christ. And whatever Christ wins, you win. So whoever overcomes the world? Those who are born again. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Believers. How do we do it? Let's move to that. Verse 4 tells us we do it by holding on to our faith. I'm going to point out something that is crucial here. Because we live in a day, you'll hear people use a phrase that I'm sharing a lot of my opinion, my brothers, of what I would do if I had the power. Let me tell you another thing while I'm out on a roll that I would eliminate from the vocabulary, but more importantly, I would eliminate from the thinking. It is the source of most of the problems we've seen in society and in the church for the last 100 years. Have you ever heard anyone say? And have you ever said it? And if you did, don't do it again. But have you ever heard anyone say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not very religious? Don't do that again. Because the scripture tells us more than once that what we're a part of is a pure religion. True religion is this, James tells us. And so what we need to rescue is we don't overcome by our believing. You can believe you're, as C.S. Lewis said, poached egg. But your believing it doesn't make it so. Let me point out what I want to point out. In all the places that John writes, and John wrote the Gospel of John, the three letters of John, and the book of Revelation. Everywhere John writes, and he uses the word faith, he always uses it as a verb, meaning something you do. Your faith. You believe. You hold on to. You cling to be true. Except this place. At this point, he's not using the word in Greek for faith as a verb, but as a noun. It's the only place. And what he's saying is, you don't overcome by your believing it. You overcome because of the faith. Not some subjective thing. The faith. As Jude says in Jude 3, the faith once delivered. The objective teaching. Remember the enemies he was going against? The Gnostics who said you get this secret religion and you just sort of created this inner knowing, this spirituality. No, you don't overcome by that. You chase your tail and you wind up in despair. Because you never know if you're believing enough. You never know if you got it right. You're always questioning that, is there a new book or a new guru or a new tape that I can listen to that'll help me see it. That's what happens when we think we overcome by our believing. We overcome by the faith that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God made manifest. See, relativism always leads you to confusion. My grandfather used to say, a man who has a watch knows what time it is. A man that has two watches is never quite sure. That's wisdom. Relativism leads to confusion and failure and ultimate defeat. We are to build our house on a rock, not on jello, not on sand. It's the objectivity, and that's what John is saying here, is if you want to overcome, cling totally confess completely that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul tells us, if you confess with your mouth, Romans 10, you will overcome. We hold to it tenderly and tightly. And if you don't, let me tell you where we wind up. In 1986, Ken Woodward from Newsweek wrote a story, and Chuck Colson in a book, and I want to tell you, it's a true story. It's a church, an Episcopal church in New York City, and this is what happens when you move away from holding to the faith in the Word of God in Jesus Christ and move to this relativism of just whatever you believe. In 1896, the people of St. John the Divine in New York City declared that they wanted a great cathedral that would bring glory to God and hold with unwavering confidence in His Word. In 1986, it had degraded to the place that the St. John's Thanksgiving service had Japanese Shinto priests, Muslim Sufis, and a cathedral cross named Christa, who was a huge crucifix with a female Christ. They allow in their pulpit rabbis, imams, Buddhist monks, atheist scientists, and any politician who will come. When asked why they've made the change and have added a menorah, they added a menorah to their sanctuary, an Islamic prayer rug, and Shinto vases, the pastor was asked, how does this square with the historic Christian faith? And Dean James Morton, the pastor at the time, said, this cathedral is a place for birth Episcopalians like me who feel constricted by the notion of excluding here. What happens here, the Sufi dancers, the Buddhist prayers, are serious spiritual experiences. We're not into theology, we're into spiritual experiences. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. And this is why I love the Gideons. Yes, you have experience, but your experience followed the clear teaching of the Word. You have a response. You believe, but you believe because you follow the objective teaching of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. Amen. And that's what allows us to overcome. And then finally, what do we overcome? We overcome the world. John's mentioned the world several times. In John 2, he talks about the sins of the world. But we know in Jesus talks about the spirit of the world, the spirit that needs to grab all it can, to grab the gusto, to take everything out of the day. For Jesus simply asked, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? I love the movie Dead Poets Society. I just think he was a fine teacher and I loved his methodology. But a phrase came out of there that doesn't say enough. And it used to be real popular. You could get coffee mugs and shirts. And remember the phrase, carpe diem? Seize the day? Now there's a real truth there. You need to seize the day because you probably don't have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. No one's guaranteed tomorrow. But brothers and sisters, we don't squeeze the day because this day is the only thing I have. I have eternity. I have overcome. So if I squeezed the day, I would never be led to martyrdom. I don't squeeze the day thinking that it's all I have. I can wait on the Lord to work because His Word told me. We overcome the world. We also overcome the trials of the world. And as I close, we overcome the despair of the world. In John's Gospel, John says, and I will use this to close, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Doesn't say in the world you might have tribulation. In the world, if you can't keep everyone around you happy, you will have. It just says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And if we are in Him and hold that title, we are more than conquerors through Him. Do you believe this, brothers and sisters? Amen.
You want to join me in the Eucharistic prayer? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Wondrous and merciful God, we thank and praise you, because we did not choose you, but you chose us. You destined us to become your friends from before the foundation of the world. You showed steadfast love and faithfulness to your covenant people, and remembered your promises in every generation. Greater love has no one than you, because in Christ you laid down your life and turned us from servants into friends. And by your Spirit you raised us up to be your beloved companions forever. And so we gladly thank you, angels and archangels, and all who, with your risen and ascended Son, sit at your right hand on high, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. God of joys and surprises, your Son's apostles were astounded that you sent your Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles, that all the earth was awakening to the praise of your name. You invite us to join your company through baptism and sustain us in your fellowship through this meal of memory and hope. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church that it may bear the image of your crucified and resurrected Son. By the power of the same Spirit, bless this bread and this cup that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup. After he gave you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Overwhelming God, you give your children faith that celebrates your sovereignty. Renew that faith among any who see your Son's continuing crucifixion, more evidently than his glorious resurrection. Restore and inspire all who, in the face of evil and suffering, feel less like conquerors and more like the conquered. Walk with those who find your commandments a burden rather than a gift. Hasten the day when all shall be drawn into the banquet of your kingdom, and you fill heaven and earth with the triumphs of your grace. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.